And Pauline has come to bring our Bible reading.
Bible reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 6 to 13. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, so he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and enable us to see you afresh and to know you, who you really are. We pray that your spirit will speak to our hearts, reveal your truth to us, draw us nearer to you. And Lord, we pray that you will soften our hearts, help us not just to listen, but to really hear and understand what you're saying and be ready to put your words into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So tomorrow, it will be 2 weeks ago since a big announcement was made. Any idea what the big announcement was? Who said that? Harry and Meghan. Well done, Jean. Prince Harry is engaged to the actress Meghan Markle. The couple are going to get married in Windsor in May next year. And since then, there's been all kinds of speculations about the details of the big day, including what will Meghan's title be? Now, apparently, she won't be called Princess Meghan, because you can only be a princess with your first name if you've been born into a royal family. But she will be Her Royal Highness Princess Henry of Wales. But the thoughts are, I know, apparently that's true. The thoughts are that she will receive another title. And there's lots of speculation, there's lots of options, but the top choice at the moment is Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Sussex. Now, whatever her title, this is a life-changing moment for Meghan Markle. She might not be Princess Meghan, but she has certainly met her handsome prince, and her life has been transformed. But you know, that transformation fades just into the background in comparison with the news that John declares in the first chapter of his gospel. He tells us in verse 12, some did receive him, that's Jesus he's talking about, and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. In other words, they and we each have the opportunity to become a child of the living God. Now that makes us sons and daughters of the King of Kings. God wants to transform our lives and enable us to live forever, not just in a royal household or a small palace, but live forever with the Creator of the universe. And this is no fairy story. This is a reality. It's a reality that we've already heard a bit about through the experiences of Theo and Tim. It's a reality that many of you will have also experienced. A new world is waiting for us. The question is, will we choose to believe and enter into that new life? As we consider what that might mean for each of us, let's take a moment just to unpack those few verses that we heard read from John's Gospel. Firstly, it's probably helpful to recognise that this book is written by John, who is the brother of James. And James and John were fishermen. Jesus called them both to follow him, and they were part of the closest group of Jesus' followers, known as the 12 disciples. Now, it's perhaps a little confusing that in the opening verses of his book, John is writing about another man called John, a different John that he refers to as God's messenger. And that John that he's writing about was the cousin of Jesus, and we perhaps know him better as John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had tried to prepare people for the arrival of Jesus, whom he knew was the long-awaited Messiah, the one that had been promised to the people of Israel hundreds of years earlier. In fact, John the Baptist himself was the fulfillment of a prophecy, which we can read in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "A voice cries out, 'Prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God.'" Now, what John was doing through these verses was verifying the truth about Jesus. He wanted his readers to understand that Jesus really is the Son of God, that God had actually promised Jesus hundreds of years earlier, that John the Baptist had tried to help people see the truth of Jesus too. But sadly, John tells us in verse 11, he, Jesus, came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. In other words, what he's saying is the facts had been there all along. For years and years, the Jewish people knew their scriptures, and they knew they were waiting for a saviour to set them free. The testimony of John the Baptist was perfectly clear. But even so, Jesus was rejected by many of the people who should have been the ones to recognise the truth. Here is the evidence, John is saying. There are many witnesses to the truth. John the Baptist is just one of them. But John wants his hearers to each verify the truth about Jesus, to see him for who he really is, the Son of God, and not to make the mistake that so many other people had done by not receiving Jesus, not recognizing him for who he is. We've heard already through the experiences of Theo and Tim that they have both verified the truth of Jesus in their own lives. And like John the Baptist so many years ago, they've also become witnesses, declaring today to us the difference that Jesus has made to them. For some of us here, their stories and their baptism has perhaps reminded us of our own walk with Jesus. Maybe it's brought back memories of when we were baptized. It was snowing on my baptism day as well. But I hope, as we've heard their stories, they've also challenged us, because they've reminded us that, like John the Baptist, each one of us has a responsibility to be a witness to the truth of Jesus. As we're reminded in the book of Romans, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. But how can they call for him for help if they've not believed? And how can they believe if they've not heard the message? And how can they hear the message if the message is not proclaimed? If we have already verified the truth of Jesus and believed in him ourselves, then each one of us has a responsibility to enable others to have their opportunity to respond to. For Theo and for Tim, their testimony today was just a part of their witness. Both they and we need to remember that our words and our actions every day should proclaim who Jesus is and give others the opportunity to know what it means to become a child of God. In our world today, there is a sense that everyone wants to be famous. There's been a massive increase in the number of reality shows on TV and quite an increase in the amount of people who watch them. And it adds to that feeling of wanting to be someone significant. Now, that's without even mentioning all the ways that social media enables you to connect with people that you barely know and follow people and listen to their opinions. I think there seems to be an ever-growing hunger for significance and security in our world today. And yet, sadly, so many people still do not know that they have a right to become a child of the living God. John writes in verse 12 that although many people did not recognize who Jesus is, some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. Now, our world today is very different to the world in which John was writing in. And yet still there was that same hunger for significance and value. In Jesus' day, there were many, many people who were slaves. There were many others who were looked down upon, who were on the edges of society, maybe because of their age, their health, their gender, their lifestyle. And many of these people would have described themselves as nobodies. Nobody of any significance. Nobody of any worth. So imagine how they felt when they discovered that nobodies are each somebody special in God's family. And anyone who was actually seen to be a somebody also needed Jesus to enable them to be a part of his family too. What John is telling us is that our lives can be transformed if we choose to align ourselves to Jesus, the light of the world. You know, that's often the part of the news that people don't like. The fact that we have to choose to align ourselves to Jesus, to follow him, to go his way. Because that means a change of heart and a change to the way we live. When John the Baptist went before Jesus as a messenger, his message was this: turn away from your sins and be baptized. His message was clear. People needed to straighten out their lives, to turn away from their way and to do things God's way by following Jesus. Now, in some people's minds, this means turning your back on fun, choosing to lead a life that's boring, dull, serious. But that is a wrong perception of what it means to live for Jesus. You see, sin is not a series of bad choices which are made by us as individuals. Sin is a state of being from which bad choices continually come. No one is exempt from this. Not the rich, not the famous, not the royal family, not the religious, not any single person here. All of us live sinful lives. We don't live in a nice world that God wants to make nicer. We live in a dark world that rejects the truth. There is only one hope, and it is the hope to be reborn through Jesus into the family of God. And that isn't living a restricted lifestyle. It's a life of freedom. It's a life where we're enabled to reach our potential, to live life to the full in the way that God has created for us. Each one of us here is loved beyond our comprehension as a child of the living God. But in order for us to live that way, we have to choose to believe and trust in Jesus completely. We're going to think a bit more about what that means in a minute. But you'll know if you've been here, if you were here last week, that our Sunday morning series in Advent is each linked to a Christmas film. And rather appropriately this morning, our film is The Polar Express. But it's not just a good film. There are a load of truths wrapped up in that movie. Because today Jesus does invite every single one of us to a place beyond our imagination. A place where there is no pain, no sadness, no suffering, no evil. A place that is just as God intended the world to be from the day of its creation. He's inviting each one of us to live as God's children in his kingdom. And all we have to do is believe. Yet, so often for many of us, we're in the place of that little boy. I want to believe, but. I want to believe, but. But what? What is stopping you from choosing to believe? In fairness, it is a serious decision to choose to follow Jesus. Believing is more than simply agreeing that somebody existed and certain things happened. To truly believe is to entrust your whole life to Jesus. To recognize that actually life is a mess without him. And you want to welcome him, not only as Savior, but as Lord. To trust Jesus and believe is an ongoing thing. It impacts the whole of our lives. The promises that Tim and Theo spoke of today weren't just about how they're feeling at this moment. They've committed their whole lives to live for Jesus. They've committed to put him first. Tim spoke about making Jesus your priority, your number one. They've chosen to live their lives Jesus' way. When we say we believe, we are accepting who Jesus is. We are declaring we have confidence in him. We are dedicating our lives to him. Yes, it is a big step, but it takes us on a journey far more exciting than the Polar Express. It takes us into the eternal kingdom of God to live as one of his children. Who would want to miss out on such a privilege? Let me encourage you this morning, if you haven't yet made a decision to follow Jesus, today could be that day. If you want to know a bit more first about what it means, then chat to me or to Lindsay afterwards. You might want to find out how you can join the Alpha course, which will be starting just a couple of weeks into the new year. But there are some of you here this morning that have heard about Jesus. And you know the words and you know the truth. You've just not got on the train. Let me encourage you, don't let that pass you by today. Allow God to speak to you and don't miss out on that opportunity. There is a life in all its fullness waiting for each one of us as God welcomes us into his kingdom as his very own children. My prayer is that each one of us would really grasp what that means and enter that life. Let's pray together. Lord, what a privilege it is to be welcomed in as a child of the living God. Thank you that you love us so much, that that is your heart's desire, that each one of us might live forever with you. Lord, for some of us, we want to believe, but we're not sure. Lord, give us the courage to take that step and embark on that journey and to trust you completely, because you are faithful and you will never let us down. Lord, for those of us who have heard the stories before but have never made that decision, help us to have the courage now to admit that you are Lord, to welcome you as our Saviour, to receive your forgiveness, and to commit our lives afresh to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.